Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here's the setup. We span the globe trying to find people to witness to so that you can learn how to witness to people, so that you can witness to people that you know. And we find ourselves in different situations so that we can understand God's way of going about witnessing is basically the same for everybody. Jim McMaster is from Scotland, but he lives in England, but right now he's in Canada. And I'm in the United States, and we're going to witness to a complete stranger. Mr. McMaster.
Mr. Friel, how are you this morning?
What exactly are you doing in Canada?
I'm freezing to death in Canada. That's what I am doing. Well, we're in Manitoba at the moment, Todd.
Yeah.
We're just west of Winnipeg in a city called Portage-la-Prairie. And we're right now on a vegetable farm. There's a Christian man owns this vegetable farm, and we're here at coffee time, and we've got a nice young man here who's ready to talk whenever you are.
Okay.
Well, this young man here is Mark. Mark works on the farm here. Nice young man. He says his mother used to see auras. Is that right, Mark?
That's right.
And he has a very strong thought on what happens when a person dies. So here he is, Todd.
Let's have it.
This is Mark.
Hello, how are you today?
Hey, Mark, how do you do?
I do pretty good.
Mark. Don't let the fellow sitting next to you in the truck know what I'm about to say to you. But I have no idea what he said a few seconds ago. I thought he said, "Do you see auras?" Is that what he said?
Well, my grandmother could tell the way how you were feeling by the color of your aura.
Yeah.
Spirit actually runs in my family quite a bit, like down the line, eh? And it's pretty neat.
Okay, so do you see auras also around people?
Well, I really haven't tapped into that part yet, but I'm working on it. I have a few books at home.
What type of book? This to me sounds like either spirituality or witchcraft.
No, it's not witchcraft. No, it's more spirituality. Yes, I wouldn't say it's witchcraft.
All right, so tell me, what do you think those auras are, and why do some people have the power to see them, and where does that power come from?
Well, you see, everybody gives off energy field. And if you could tap into that part of your brain, I believe that you can actually see it. It's kind of hard to explain, but you'd have to do it to understand it, I guess.
Yeah. And how do you know that how do you know how to interpret what you're seeing?
Well, you know, that's, I don't know. But I guess the brighter your aura is, the more energy you have, and the better you are feeling.
All right. And so when you are able to tap into your part of the brain, is everybody able to do that, or just some special people?
Some special people. Not everybody can do it.
And how do they get endowed with that ability?
You know, I guess it comes from your family. You know, it's hereditary.
Hmm. All right, I want to ask you a different set of questions now.
Okay.
Do you know where your name comes from?
Where my name comes from?
Yeah.
Really, I don't.
Okay.
Who's
the most famous Mark ever?
The famous Mark ever.
Yeah.
Mark Anthony?
Nope. Nope. But that's a good one. Most people the reason that the name Mark in North America is so popular still is it's a Bible name.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
You know,
yep.
The gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're familiar with the Bible?
I am, yep.
A little bit? Do you believe it, that the Bible is true?
I believe everything that the Bible says is coming true.
Really?
I have read the Bible, and it's like Nostradamus. Like, he predicts the future, and the Bible, you know, it is pretty much predicted the future. And like the world wars, and it said that the towers will fall, and that's the Twin Towers in New York when the planes hit. You know, stuff like that, and all the natural disasters. It's the world's eventually, it's going to come to an end, and I believe that the Bible, it says that, and I really do believe strongly that whatever the Bible says is actually coming true.
You're with it. Okay, so I want to share with you something that the book of Leviticus says. All right?
Mm-hmm.
That's an Old Testament book, but the principle here is still the same. God says to people that he hates witchcraft, divination, sorcery, trying to look into the secret things, trying to discern the future through spiritual practices. Do you think that that's accurate and applicable today?
I think so, yes.
Okay. So getting back to the aura business, it sounds like that's kind of tiptoeing in that area.
It is, yes, it is. Yes.
Okay.
And I really do believe when a person dies, I believe strongly everybody has three earth walks.
Three earth walks.
Three earth walks.
All righty.
I really do. I believe in reincarnation. I mean, once you're dead, you're not dead. I believe your spirit goes on living in another world or another way. And I believe everybody has three earth walks. We're here in this life.
What Bible verse says that, Mark?
Well, that's just my belief. That's just my belief.
Okay, let me share with you a Bible verse.
Okay.
It is appointed unto man once to die and then judgment. You get one earth walk, you die, you get judged by God, heaven or hell, period. That's what the Bible says.
Yes.
Okay, so either you're right or the Bible's right.
Well, I believe the Bible is probably right.
Okay. All right, here's what I'd like to do, Mark. I want to take you to that time. Someday, you're going to die. It's appointed by God, and he's going to judge you. Let's see what might happen to you on that day. Now, this isn't predicting the future. This is just using what the Bible says to determine what God says about the afterlife, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If he judges you for everything that you've done wrong, including your thought life. So, for instance, he knows if you've had a sexual thought about women.
Mm-hmm.
He sees that as adultery of the heart. He knows if you've ever told a lie, he would see you as a liar. If you've ever stolen anything, he would know that you're a thief. And if you've ever taken his name in vain, he'd know that you're a blasphemer, that you've used his name carelessly and recklessly.
Yes.
All right, so Mark, you die. Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
To be honest with you, I have.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say I've never have.
Well, I appreciate the honesty. But have you ever told a lie?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Have you ever stolen anything?
No, I haven't. I've never stolen anything. Maybe when I was a kid, maybe a pack of gum or anything. But
okay. Well, God doesn't forget the sins of our youth, and he's not impressed by the size or the value.
I believe God's a very forgiving individual.
Well, let's hold on to that thought just for a second. Let's finish up your courtroom scene, all right? And I'm just guessing because you're a guy, you've looked at a woman with lust, yes?
Well, yes.
Okay. So now, Mark, there you stand before God, and he knows that you're a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer. What should God do with you? Should he take you to heaven, or should he send you to hell?
I believe he should take me to heaven.
Why?
Well, I mean, everybody should have a second chance, you know.
Well, that's not how justice works.
Well, I know, but you kind of got me on that one.
Well, it's a hard answer. We hate the answer because we know what the next question is. If I'm guilty, God should send me to hell, and we don't like that thought, do we?
But do we actually go to hell, though?
Well, that's what the Bible says. It's a terrible place. In fact, that book that you're named after, Mark, talks, Jesus made it very clear that there will be a punishment, there will be a judgment by God, and lawbreakers will go there. But Mark, what else does that book say, that Gospel of Mark, what else does it say about the afterlife? What has God done so that you don't have to go to hell?
Oh, geez, you know, you got me on that one, too.
All right. Jesus Christ is God's Son. He's God himself in the flesh, came to this earth, got beaten and whipped and punched and spit on and hung on a cross to take the punishment that you and I deserve.
Mm-hmm.
You and I broke God's laws, but Jesus paid the fine for us. That's the good news of the gospel.
That's right, yes.
We should all go to hell, but God wants us saved so that he can be praised for being so good. So he rescued us. The king stepped off of his throne, took the punishment that we deserve, and rescued us so that he can show off his kindness to the universe. And so, Mark, you don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven. But the Bible that book that's named you're named after says you've got to repent, turn from your sins, apologize for your sins, say you're sorry, forsake your sins, and put your trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And the Bible says if you'll do that, your court case will be dismissed because Jesus paid the fine for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the good news of the gospel. That's what the Bible talks about. Make sense?
Yes, it does.
Mark, you got something to think about, and I would beg with you to plead with you to please consider this. If you died, He's going to judge you, and you're going to go to hell. But today, He offers you mercy. He offers you grace. He offers you forgiveness. So please think about these things. Think about how many times you've sinned, your thought life, your deeds, your actions, and think about the fact that Jesus died to rescue you, and it should break your heart. You should call out to God for mercy, and He'll forgive you. Okay,
yes.
So please think about this today, would you?
Yes, I will.
All right, my farming friend. Hey, I'm glad we got to talk. You got a lot to think about today. How old are you?
I am 38.
Dude, you're definitely old enough. You got to get this figured out. Don't wait another day, okay?
I know I won't.
All right. Mark?
I do believe in the Lord, and I do. I do believe in the Lord very strongly, yes.
All right. Repent and put your trust in Jesus, okay?
I will.
All right, dude. Thanks for the chat.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
This is Wretched Radio. Let's go to Eastern Europe for yet another great story coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs.
Andrea was left by her mother when she was 3 months old. The Tomorrow Club director decided to pray for this girl, and she repented. She used to be a sad-looking kid. Now, seems like that smile never comes off her face.
So many kids are abandoned by parents who need to go to other countries to make a living. They donate their organs. They leave the kids. They are lost physically and spiritually, and the Tomorrow Clubs finds them. They teach them the gospel. They help them to memorize Bible verses. They even will help them with their family lives. It's a magnificent ministry, story after story coming out of Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Tomorrow Clubs is the ministry. Would you please consider supporting a club of your own? Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Does this sound familiar? It's Saturday night, and there you are on your computer, and you decide to watch a video of John MacArthur. And the next thing that you know, you're 3 hours deep in YouTube watching a baby giraffe trying to stand up. Hey, it's happened to all of us. Instead of watching random videos and losing all sense of time, we suggest visiting wretched.org. There are hundreds of hours of biblically based TV and radio, and a library full of hand-picked content specifically for you. Over 2,400 30-minute TV programs with subjects ranging from abortion and apologetics to systematic theology and hermeneutics. Wretched's hour-long radio programs posted every day tackle tough issues that we all face today. That's not all. Every Monday, you can expect to hear Grace to You's Phil Johnson on Too Wretched for Radio with Todd. So the next time you're just wandering the web watching baby giraffe videos, head on over to wretched.org. Wretched.org.
What two pastors go through to bring Bibles to their parishioners in the Philippines.
Two pastors, they had to rise up 3 a.m. and walk for 2 hours. And after that, they have to ride a bangka across the river for an hour and then walk again for 3 hours just to get hold of those precious Bibles. They will return in the same way again to bring those Bibles to people whom they are ministering.
That is what they go through. What must you and I do to bring those Bibles to believers around the globe? Pick up our phones. Call Bible League International. Would you do that right now? $5 per Bible. Could you send 7 per month? Call Bible League International right now, and they will be delivered to the hands of a believer. 1-800-YES-WORD. Just giving you a chance to write that down or to call it. 1-800-YES-WORD to bring Bibles to believers through Bible League International. 1-800-YES-WORD.
Books of the Bible. John, the beloved disciple, author of the Gospel of John and Revelation, also wrote 3 epistles. In this first epistle of John, the apostle has one main concern, that we may know if we have eternal life and if our faith is genuine faith. If you want to know that you have eternal life,
Turn to 1 John and see what he has written for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The British will never, never, never be slaves. Well, except slaves to sin. Thank you very much. I thought of that all by myself. Hey, Ray, I just plagiarized.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that.
Our good buddy Josh from Australia is somewhere in England. I'm not exactly sure. We were just having a chat. He's in a shopping mall someplace. He's going to be doing some street fishing, and we were talking about Rule Britannia, and he reminded me of the line, "The British will never, never, never be slaves." And he said, "Except to sin," and that's taken from John 8:44. And he knew that so readily because he's been preaching it on it all week. But I just lifted it as if it was mine, which is a very evangelical thing to do these days, isn't it, Ray?
Well, you just redeemed yourself by giving the source.
Hello, Josh. Thanks for making me sound smart, dude.
That's no worries, Todd. That's what I'm here for.
All right. Excellent. Now tell us about who you have there.
Okay, we have Anya with us. Now, Anya's from Sheffield, and she says she has a Christian background, but she's not sure if it's Roman Catholicism or not. So it could be a nice, lively, and interesting conversation for you.
All righty. Wow, you found the famous singer. That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Todd. It's Anya, not Enya. Close, but no.
Not quite. All righty, then. It'll still be exciting. Ray, are you ready to go? By the way, are you in the pet store?
No, no, I'm not in the pet store, although there's a few people acting like animals around the place.
What is the screaming sound?
Little kids looking at things, saying things like, "Mum, I want it," and breaking the 10th commandment.
There you have it. Why don't you preach the commandments to those kids, and maybe it'll just keep them quieted down while we have a chat with Anya.
No worries. Well, here's Anya now.
All right, very good. Take it away, Ray.
Hello.
Hello, Anya.
Hello.
How you doing?
All right, thank you. You?
Good. My name's Ray, and we appreciate you coming on the program. Anya, may I ask how old you are?
14.
14?
Yeah.
Oh, and you're from Sheffield?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see how clever you are. What's Sheffield famous for?
Steel.
Yeah. Stainless steel?
Yeah.
See, I'm originally from New Zealand, and I remember Sheffield on our stainless steel bread knives, and so it's got a special meaning to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, my in-laws are English, and they're from Yorkshire district up there, hi. So I'm very familiar with a lot of the phraseology. Okay, Anya, tell me, what do you believe about God? Do you think there's an afterlife?
Yeah, I do, and I believe everything, really.
You believe everything in the Bible?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, that's wonderful. Do you pray?
I do want to go to church, which is not often.
Okay. Do you don't pray at night before you go to sleep?
No.
You ever thank God that he was the one that gave you life and everything you've got?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're thankful to God and you believe everything in his word, which is commendable. That's wonderful. So you think there's a place called heaven?
Yeah.
Okay, what's heaven like, do you think?
I think it's like anything you want it to be and anything that you've ever dreamed of. That's what it is.
It's anything you want it to be. What say I've got desires that are sinful and I want it to be like that? Do you think heaven's a place where you only do that which is right and good?
Yeah.
Okay, now do you think there's a place called hell?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me, who do you think is going to hell?
Oh, murderers and people that don't deserve to, like, go to heaven.
So murderers will go to hell. What about what about rapists?
Yeah.
What about adulterers? Do you think adulterers will go to hell?
Yes.
Okay, what about thieves?
Anyone that's done anything wrong in their life will go to hell.
Whoa. Now, here's a big question, Anya. Have you ever done anything wrong in your life?
Well, nothing majorly wrong.
So nothing majorly wrong. Well, what we'll do just for a moment, Anya, is we'll look at the Ten Commandments and see if you've done anything majorly wrong, because that's the criteria God's going to go by on the Day of Judgment. If we've broken the Ten Commandments, then we'll be punished. That's what the Bible says. Do you know what the 10th commandment is?
No.
Well, this is what it is. You shall not covet. And that means we shouldn't ever be greedy or want something that belongs to somebody else. Have you ever broken that commandment?
Yeah.
Okay, so the 10th gets toppled. What about the 9th, which says you shall not bear false witness, you shall not lie? Have you ever told a lie in your life?
Yeah.
Okay. And what do you call someone who tells lies? What's the right term?
A liar.
Uh-huh. We'll go to the 8th now. We're going downwards. You shall not steal. Have you ever taken something that belongs to somebody else in your whole life, even if it's small?
Something of my sister's, yeah.
You stole from your sister?
Yeah.
Boy, now listen to the seventh. You shall not commit adultery. I know you're only 14, but Jesus said if you look with lust, that is, you look at a guy with sexual desire, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever looked at a guy with lust?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there goes the seventh. The sixth says you shall not kill, but the Bible says if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. Have you ever hated anybody?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there goes the sixth. Honor your father and mother. Have you ever dishonored your parents?
Yeah.
Okay, there goes the fifth. Now, you said that you haven't been going to church very often, so obviously you haven't kept the Sabbath holy, which is the fourth. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yeah.
Okay, there goes the third. Now, the second commandment says you should not make yourself a graven image. That means you shouldn't make a wrong image of God in your mind. Well, you create a God to suit yourself, a God other than the God of the Bible. And almost all of humanity has made themselves an idol, a God within their mind. I did it. And if you didn't do that, you would obey God with all your heart. You'd fear God. But obviously you don't fear God because you've lied and stolen, so you've broken the second. And the first commandment is to put God first in your life and love him above everything else. And it's obvious that you haven't done that. So, Anya,
okay.
You see you've got a problem. You've broken every one of the Ten Commandments. So what are you going to say to God on the Day of Judgment? What would you say to him? How could God let you into heaven?
It let me in because I'd say sorry and I didn't mean to do it.
Okay. Let's just look at a courtroom in civil law for a moment and imagine you're a criminal and you're standing before the judge and there's a $1 million fine because you've broken the law and it's very, very serious. And the judge says, Anya, you're guilty. And you say, yes, I'm guilty. And he says, have you anything to say before I pass sentence? And you say, judge, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to break the law. The judge is going to say, you should be sorry. Of course you should be sorry. And you shouldn't do it again. And he's not going to let you go just because you're sorry. Can you see that? Because we wouldn't have anyone in prison if everybody could get out of it if they just said, judge, I'm sorry. So you're in big trouble. And the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. No blasphemer, no adulterer, no fornicator, no covetous person will inherit the kingdom of God. So if you died today, according to the Bible, which you said you believe, you'd go to hell forever. Does that concern you?
No.
Does it worry you that you'd go to hell if you died today?
No, because I don't think I would.
Well, the Bible says you would, and God isn't lying. You think about it, Anya. God is going to punish murderers because he's good. But he's so good, he's going to punish adulterers and thieves and liars. In fact, Jesus said, every idle word a man speaks, he'll give an account thereof on the day of judgment. And if you had a terrible disease and you said, oh, I don't think I've got a terrible disease, you'd never take the cure. But if I was a doctor and you said, oh, I realize I have a terrible disease, then I could give you the cure. And what I want to do, Anya, is give the cure. I want to tell you how you can be forgiven, how God can grant you everlasting life. But as long as you say, no, I don't think God will punish me, you'll never want the cure. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, do you know what God did for us so we wouldn't have to go to hell? Have you any idea?
No.
Well, have you ever celebrated Christmas?
Yeah.
Unto us this day a Savior was born. That word Savior, speaking of Jesus, means that he will save his people from their sins. And when we have Easter, we celebrate how he did it. When he was on the cross 2,000 years ago, he took the punishment for all your sins upon himself. He was bruised for our iniquities. God became a person in the Messiah and gave his perfect life as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. Are you able to hear what I'm saying, Anya?
Yeah.
God loves you so much. He made a way for you to be forgiven. He stepped in the courtroom and he paid the fine on your behalf. And then he rose from the dead. And what you have to do, Anya, is repent. That is, you turn from your sins. You say, God, I'm not going to covet. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to blaspheme. Please help me to repent. And I'm going to put my faith in Jesus who suffered and died for me and rose again on the third day. Anya, the moment you do that, God will forgive your sins. He'll wash you clean. He'll give you a new heart with new desires. And when you're standing before him on the day of judgment, he can allow you to live because all your sins are forgiven. You can escape the damnation of hell because of what Jesus did on the cross. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Todd, would you like to talk to Anya for a moment?
Hello, Anya. Nice to meet you.
Hello.
Hi. He just kind of hit you with an awful lot of stuff, didn't he?
Yeah.
Hey, Anya, there's a pretty good chance that you're going to get kind of distracted with the day and what's going on around you. Could we encourage you to please remember this conversation and not let it just drift past you, but at least ponder what the man said?
I will.
All right. Hey, Anya, thank you for talking to us today.
It's okay.
All right. Goodbye.
All right. Bye.
Goodbye. Ray, there might be some people listening who are going, wow, you kind of walloped her. She's 14 years old. What do you think you're doing there?
I'm trying to save her from a great deal of pain because she's 14. She's easily influenced by her peers. And if she becomes a Christian at the age of 14, which she can't do unless she acknowledges her sins, she can become a wonderful witness for the kingdom of God and use her life aright.
All right, real quick. Can a 14-year-old do that? Can they understand that they're a really bad sinner in need of a Savior?
Oh, yeah. God gave them a conscience. We've got to remember salvation is of the Lord, and it's God that converts the soul. So we leave it up to Him.
All right. They're not too young to understand sin and that they need a Savior. And if you're 14, you do too.
This is Wretched Radio.
SOS Ministries wants to see a movement take place within God's church in Uganda. They want to see God-fearing, Christ-proclaiming churches rise up across the country and impact the whole of the Ugandan society. To reach out nationwide, they have the Ministry of Church Strengthening and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. But without the consistent support of God's people, none of this is possible. If you can help support SOS Ministries, go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. I don't even know where to start today. The Chinese government has tightened its rein on its citizens by announcing that all religious personnel of any faith must submit to and evangelize about the Chinese Communist Party. A Chinese Catholic priest, according to CBN, said that in practice your religion no longer matters. If you're Buddhist, Taoist, Muslim, or Christian, the only religion allowed is faith in the Chinese Communist Party. Starting on February 1st, all religious groups must adhere to the rules, which consist of 6 chapters and 41 articles. They require government approval for any type of gathering and total submission to the Communist Party. Manuscripts from each religion are also not immune. According to the Daily Mail, the Communist Party intends to complete a comprehensive evaluation of the existing religious classics aimed at contents which do not conform to the progress of the times. Christian Headlines previously reported that means books such as the Bible or the Quran will be rewritten to reflect socialist values. And any paragraphs the government deems wrong will be changed. Patrick Poon, a China researcher at Amnesty International, says in many ways the Chinese government's control, including censorship of the Bible and Quran, has twisted the doctrines of these religious texts and thus the religions. There is simply no genuine religious freedom. The new laws come after finishing off 2019 with the, quote, worst religious persecution in the country's history, according to the Federalist. Praying for our brothers and our sisters. Planned Parenthood performed nearly 350,000 abortions during its most recent fiscal year. That's a record number that pro-life group says underscores the organization's tragic real-life mission. Planned Parenthood's report for 2018-19 shows the organization's clinics performed a total of over 345,600 abortions during the fiscal year. That is up about 12,000 abortions from the year before and over 20,000 abortions from 2016-17. It is the highest number of abortions ever reported by Planned Parenthood, which has seen a dramatic rise in abortions performed since the year 2000, when it reported 197,000 such procedures. Planned Parenthood's total number of abortions has increased even as the overall number of abortions in the U.S. is declining. National Right to Life's Dave Andrusko asserts that no doubt they hate to hear it, but the latest annual report confirms that when you think abortion, think Planned Parenthood. The National Review's Alexandra DeSantis penned a column arguing that Planned Parenthood annual report proves abortion is its mission. Pretty sure that anyone who has 2 eyes and a clue understands that, except, you know, for Planned Parenthood supporters who close both eyes. Wowzers. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like sensus literalis. The Bible is to be read in the literal sense, the way the author and original audience would have understood it.
There is no code, no secret meaning to be uncovered. The Bible is plainly written so that all people can know God through its pages. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's check in with Alex. Hello, Alex.
Hey, Ray. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Alex.
I'm in the Frankston Mall here. It's the usual busy day, and I've got Blake ready to go.
Do you know anything about Blake, Alex?
Yeah. He did warn us that his beliefs are weird, so he told us to tell me to warn you on that. He's age 16.
Oh, he's 16 years old, and he's already got weird beliefs.
Yeah, and he dresses kind of weird as well.
What's he wearing?
He's familiar with the emo look. He's wearing black. He's got the black fringe down across his forehead.
Oh, yeah. Ray, whenever I see a kid like that, I always get the feeling inside that they are just, it's like they're saying, help me, I need some help here.
Right.
I need some attention here. So I have a really soft place in my heart for these kids. You ready to go, Alex?
Yeah.
All right, let's pass the phone over to Blake.
Okay, here's Blake.
All right, Ray, take over.
Hello.
Hey, Blake, thanks for coming on the program.
That's cool.
Hey, are you 16 years old?
Yes.
So you just kind of got here. You've only been here for 16 years. What do you think? Do you enjoy life?
Depending.
Depending on what's happening?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Blake, tell me what you believe. Do you think there's an afterlife?
Yes. Well, not really. I sort of believe all the bad people that sort of sin in their life, when they pass away, they stay on Earth for a while until, I believe, in reincarnation. I believe when the bad people pass away, they get reincarnated as better people to rewrite their sins and what they've done.
So what happens if you come back as a cockroach?
Well, I guess you can do your best.
So what do you think you're going to come back as? Are you a bad person or a good person?
I try to be a good person.
You try to be a good person. How are you doing? How are you coming along?
Well, with my own thoughts, I'm doing okay.
Oh, good. Hey, now, have you got a belief in God? Is he the one that's in charge of this reincarnation process? He picks what body's going to get for whom? He says, hey, this one's going to be a cockroach, or is it just kind of chance?
I don't know about that. There has to be something up there.
Well, there's got to be someone working out who's done good and who's done bad, because who's come back as a cockroach and who's come back as kind of an Arnold Schwarzenegger type figure. Someone's got to be dishing out the right bodies for the right folks.
True. Well, yeah, I sort of don't know about anyone being up there. There could be, there couldn't be. Thinking my own opinion, I'd say there would be someone up there.
So we'd call the someone God?
Yeah, basically. Or
hey, tell me about your background. Have you had sort of some Christian background? I heard you use the word sin without sort of any tainted tone to it. So do you have some sort of Christian background?
No, I haven't got any Christian background. I've sort of my own belief, I guess.
Well, I was exactly the same. I was kind of thinking, which is the right way? What do I believe? Trying to formulate, you know. So why do you think people die? I mean, why are we all going to die? You ever think about that?
Well, I guess the body gets old or...
Yeah, but you go through a cemetery, you'll find a lot of people have got 16 on their tombstones.
Well,
they didn't get old. They just sort of had an aneurysm or a heart attack or cancer got them when they were young. And you think, you know, why is it they're all part of the ultimate statistic? 10 out of 10 die.
Oh, I've got a brochure of that in my wallet. 10 out of 10 people die.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
That's called the ultimate statistic. Where'd you get that from?
I was in the city and some Christian people were handing them out.
Oh, that's great. Someone cares about you enough to talk to you about the things that really matter. Are you afraid of dying, Blake?
Yes.
Boy, it's good to hear someone honest. So many people say, no, I'm not afraid of dying. You're dead. Your number's up. It's up. But, I mean, all of us have got something within us that says, oh, I don't want to die. I mean, that's our God-given will to live.
Yeah, it's scary because you might see the white light or you might not or something. I don't know. It's scary.
Let me ask you a few questions, because there was one thing that really helped me get the issue straightened out in my life, and that was the answer to this question. So I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to be real honest, and then there's a few more questions after it, and then we'll see where it goes from there. Okay?
Yeah.
Blake, here's the first question. Do you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yes.
Okay, now here's the other questions to see if it's true. All I want from you is your honesty. Do you think you can manage honesty?
Yep.
I think you can. You sound like a very reasonable guy. Here's the first question. Have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
Now, what do you call someone who tells a lie?
A liar?
Mm-hmm. Have you ever stolen something, even if it's small?
Yes.
Okay, what does that make you? What are you called if you steal something?
A thief.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
I think we all have. Most of us.
Yeah, that's true.
But not intentionally.
No, we just sort of let it roll off our lips without giving it a second thought.
Yeah.
What that's called is taking God's name in vain, not showing respect or honor for it, and we use it as a cuss word to express disgust. Where we hit our thumb with a hammer and say, oh, G-O-D or G-J-S-O-S.
Yeah.
And that's called blasphemy, and it's a violation of the third of the Ten Commandments, and it's very serious to use God's name as a cuss word. And here's the final question. Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yes.
Okay, so listen to this. Blake, by your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart, and you have to face God on Judgment Day. Now, here's a big if. If God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'll be innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Would you go to heaven or hell?
Well, the sins I've done in my life haven't really been too serious comparing to what other people might have or would have done. Yes, I would be guilty, but I don't know if I'd be going to heaven or hell.
Well, let me explain something to you that's really important to understand. I heard a little story once about a girl who was looking at a sheep as it ate green grass, and she thought how white the sheep looked against the green grass. Then it began to snow, and the girl now looked at the sheep and thought, boy, that sheep's dirty against the white snow. It was the same sheep, but with a different background. It looked white until the snow landed beside it, and then it looked dirty. Well, if you compare yourself to other people, especially to Adolf Hitler, you look snowy white. You look clean.
But well, when you Hitler done what he believed in.
That's right. So compared to other people, you are a good person. Isn't that true?
Yeah, yeah.
But compared to God's law, you're not. You're
a
liar,
person.
A thief, a blasphemer, an adulterer at heart. In fact, listen to what the Bible says. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. We say, oh, it's just a little fib, white lie, but it's so serious, the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Have you ever hated someone?
Yeah, oh, hate is a very strong word. I'd probably go for dislike.
Okay, well, the Bible says he who hates his brother is a murderer. That's how high God's standards are. He's perfect, he's holy, he's righteous, and the Bible says he'll by no means clear the guilty. And Blake, this is the hardest thing I've ever had to say to people, but if you have sinned against God and he judges you by your thought life and the deeds you've done in darkness, you'll be guilty and end up in hell. That's not a nice thing to say to people, but it's the truth. It's like if you're walking forward towards a 1,000-foot cliff and you're blindfolded, I've got to say to you, if you don't turn around, you're going to fall on rocks 1,000 feet below. And it's a horrible thing to say to someone, but it's the truth. And all you can do is say, please turn around. So, like, does it concern you that if you died today and God gave you justice, that you'd end up in hell for eternity?
Well, if I died today, I wouldn't, not saying that now and probably a year time, but to sort of rewrite my sins for what I've done wrong.
Well, here's a little thought for you. Think of a criminal standing in front of a judge, and he says, Judge, I am guilty of rape and murder, very serious crimes, but just give me time to get things right. The judge is going to say, what are you talking about? You've committed crimes and you must be punished. I'm not going to give you time to get things right. You've done wrong. And I'm going to see that justice is done this day. You're going to prison for a long time. So there's nothing a criminal can do to make things right when he's violated the law. All he can do is plead for the mercy of the judge. And there's nothing you and I can make right that which we've done wrong. When we lust, we sin against God. When we lie or steal, we sin against God. We break his law, not man's law. When we blaspheme, we sin against God, and no amount of good works can wash away our sins. Do you know what God did? Do you know what God did for you so you wouldn't have to go to hell?
Do you know what soul?
Well, God became a man, and that man's name was Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, and Jesus gave his life on the cross. When he was nailed to a cross, the Bible says he was being punished for our sins. It's like if you broke the law, and you're standing in front of the judge and you can't pay the fine. It's $500,000. And the judge feels real sorry for you. And because he's a good man, he takes his wig and robes off. He comes around. He writes out a check for $500,000, pays your fine. And he says, now you're free to go. I paid your fine. Well, that's what God did for you. He became a person, paid your fine in his life's blood. The Bible says God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's how much God loves you. And then he rose from the dead and defeated death. The Bible said it was not possible that death could hold him. And now the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God can grant you forgiveness of sins. He can allow you to live. You can escape death and hell by repenting. That's not, you just don't say, sorry, God. You actually turn from your sins. And by trusting in Jesus Christ, the same way you trust a parachute. You don't just believe in it. You put it on. Blake, the minute you do that, God will forgive all those sins you've committed, and he'll grant you the gift of everlasting life. You'll pass from death to life, from darkness into light, the moment you repent and trust the Savior. Blake, do you have a Bible?
No.
Well, there's a guy named Alex that you met. I'm sure he'll give you a Bible and give you some literature, but get a hold of a Bible and pray about what we talked about. And again, thank you so much for talking with me, Blake.
That's fine.
This is Wretched Radio.
Have I said thank you for joining us? Well, thank you for joining us. Always glad when you spend time with us listening to Wretched Radio. And thank you to our gospel partners. Now, honestly, without their financial generosity, we wouldn't be here. I mean, there'd be no radio show, no TV show, no internet, and none of the great resources we develop. So a very big thank you to our gospel partners. And for you, would you prayerfully consider becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner? Just visit wretched.org/donate for all the details. Wretched.org/donate and consider becoming a gospel partner. Yes, we are a 501c3, so all gifts are tax deductible, and we will be good stewards of your money. As a matter of fact, 83% of every dollar goes straight to ministry work. So please consider becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner today. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
No doubt if you've spent even a minute listening to conservative media, you have been whipped into a frenzy. The problems with our society, the collapse of a culture, the statistics, the legislation. We got to do something about this. But then we're never told what to do. I believe the greatest social ill of our time is the war against the unborn. Millions of children being killed in our country during our lifetime. And we can do something about it, and we can practically get engaged in the war for life. Preborn.org/wretched, $28 will provide an ultrasound 80% of the time. It saves the life of a child. Let's not just be righteously indignant. Let us do something to save lives. The women hear the gospel, they receive support, and they choose life. $28 for an ultrasound. Preborn.org/wretched.
Thanks very much to the generosity of our monthly gospel partners. Now, if you watch or listen to Wretched on a regular basis, would you consider becoming a gospel partner? See, our content, what we do, is only available because of the generous support of our gospel partners. Thanks to them, you can find full Wretched radio and TV episodes at the home of all things Wretched, wretched.org, among many other free resources. You see, without our gospel partners, there is no Wretched. So, if you enjoy watching or listening to Wretched and would like to continue to do so, consider please becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. Visit wretched.org/donate for all the details. And please know that we will be faithful stewards of your money. Right now, 83% of every dollar goes to ministry work. Consider becoming a gospel partner. Go to wretched.org/donate.
Important dates in Christian history. 1910 to 1915. The Fundamentals are published and demonstrate the great divide in American Christianity, known as the Modernist Fundamentalist Controversy. Fundamentalists began to set themselves apart from society as a witness for Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Somewhere out there in, I think it's in Melbourne, is Alex. Let's check in and see how he's doing, catching some fish. Hey, Alex.
Yeah, hi, guys. I'm in Frankston Mall here in Melbourne, and it's a busy one, and I've got Becky standing here with me.
Terrific. Can you describe her? How old is she? What does she look like?
Yeah, Becky's 17.
Yeah.
She says she's a Christian. So I'll put you on.
Well, let us have a little chat with Becky. Okay, Ray, are you going to try to witness to her, just hear her testimony?
I'm just going to find out where she is as a Christian.
All right, let's give a listen.
Okay, here's Becky.
Hi, how are you going?
Becky, thanks for coming on the program. Really appreciate it. My name's Ray. Pleased to meet you. Becky, are you a Christian?
Yes, I go to Reach Out for Christ on the Gold Coast.
A Reach Out for Christ? Well, that sounds really good. Tell me, how did you become a Christian? Why did you become a Christian?
My dad's girlfriend has been a Christian for like 4 years, and I've just been going with her. I don't fully understand everything yet, but I'm just going and learning about it. So I became Christian because things weren't good in my life, so I just found that was a better way. Like, it's a better way of life, I suppose.
A better way of life?
Yeah.
Okay, now, could you... I'm a Christian, but let's pretend for a moment that I'm not a Christian, and I'm gonna let you witness to me and tell me why I should become a Christian. You want to have a try at that?
Okay.
Becky, I hear you're a Christian. Why should I become a Christian?
Christianity is a way to go to heaven, I suppose. It's a better way of life, living. It gives you faith in God.
Well, here, I got a little thought for you. I'm not interested in heaven. I'm interested in earth. It's kind of pie in the sky when you die. What I want is steak on my plate right now sort of thing. So I'm not interested in becoming a Christian, and I'm really happy as I am. I'm very, very rich. I own 3 homes, a yacht, and 3 cars, and I got a lot of money in the bank. In fact, I've got millions in the bank. I've got lots of friends because they like my money. And I've got a gorgeous girlfriend that I live with. We're not married, we just live together. So why should I become a Christian?
Because are you fulfilled completely?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's no God-shaped vacuum in my heart. It's filled with money and sex and just good food. And I'm having a real ball. I tell you, seriously, I'm so happy and so fulfilled. I don't think I need to become a Christian.
Well, what's going to happen when all that goes one day and then you're going to be old and... You're going to have to, where are you going to go when you die? Do you not want to live a happy life?
Well, I've got a long, I got a long time until it happens because I'm young. When I'm old, so I've got another like 60 years to just enjoy my life that I'm having. And I'll face that when I come to it. I think I'm a good person anyway, so I try and live a good life. And I use my money to help people. I feed starving children. I'm involved in a lot of good work, so I think I'll be fine. And I'll probably go to heaven because I'm basically a good person. Becky, what are you going to say?
God won't just, like, if you choose not to have God in your life now, then why all of a sudden when you die is he going to choose to have you in his life?
Oh, it looks like I miss out. I'll probably miss out then. I don't mind. I'm having a happy life as it is, so there's no real big problem.
Eternity's a long time. I actually watched this movie, and it was about people who had died and gone to hell, some went to heaven, but they came back alive. There was a man who he went to hell, and he just felt all these arms grabbing him, and he was a really rich, fulfilled, arrogant man who thought that, you know, he was going to live forever, or not live forever, live a happy life forever. But eternity is a long time, and once you die, where do you choose to spend that? Choose to spend my life on earth with God so I could spend eternity with God rather than spend life by myself and have life in eternity in hell.
Yeah, why would God send me to hell? I give a lot of money away. I'm not greedy and I've got a
because
humble
you
heart.
Don't, because you don't have faith in him, because you're not following him, because you don't...
So that's why God would send me to hell, because I don't have faith? He sends me to hell
for
something...
He doesn't send you to hell. You choose to do that yourself.
I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. Do you know what I'm doing, Becky? I'm being deliberately annoying because I know something that you don't know. You know what it is?
What's that?
I know the way Jesus witnessed. I've seen it in Scripture, and I know how to do it biblically, and I used to do exactly what you're doing. Do you know what you're doing?
trying to convince someone, but it's not working.
Yeah, that's right. Well, this is the problem. Are you ready?
Yeah.
You're making the issue happiness rather than righteousness.
Righteousness.
Yeah, what happened with Jesus? If you look at Mark 10, verse 17, a young man came running to Jesus, knelt down and said, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but God." And then he said, you know the commandments. You shall not steal, you shall not lie, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not defraud. And he gave some commandments to this guy. You think, what on earth has that got to do with witnessing? Everything. Yeah. You see, most people think they're good. If you go up to anyone and say, do you think you're a good person? They'll say, yes, I am. Well, what you've got to do is show them that God's standard of good is moral perfection and thought, word, and deed. And the way to show someone they're not good is to take them through the Ten Commandments. Let me do that with you just to show you what I'm talking about. You ready?
Yep.
And I appreciate you doing this just off the cuff,
no
Becky.
Problem.
Becky, do you think you're a good person?
Sometimes, yes. So.
You're not sure?
Yes, I am, yep.
Okay, and I'm going to show you that you're not. I'm going to show that you're not. Are you ready?
Okay, yep.
Have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
What do you call someone who tells a lie?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
Yes.
What does that make you?
A stealer.
Thief. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes.
That's called blasphemy. That's using God's name as a cuss word. It's very serious. Now, yep. Jesus said if you look with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever looked at someone with lust?
Yes.
Now listen to this, Becky. You're not a good person. By your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. And you have to face God on Judgment Day.
Yeah.
And because God's going to judge you by the standard of his law, the Ten Commandments, you need a Savior. You need Jesus. Yeah. Not to make you happy, but to make you righteous, to save you from God's wrath and ending up in hell. God won't send you to hell for not having faith. He'll send you to hell for lying, for stealing, for blasphemy, for adultery, for fornication, for hatred, for committing any sin that violates his law, his holy standard. So that's why Jesus died on the cross, not for happiness, not to give us happiness, but to give us righteousness, to cleanse us before the day of judgment through repentance and faith in him.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, yeah.
Because when you make happiness the issue, you paint yourself into a corner when someone's already happy. And believe me, there are plenty of happy people out there that are not Christians. I was happy before I became a Christian. The Bible says in Jeremiah 12:1, why are they also happy who deal treacherously? So you can be happy without Jesus, but you cannot be righteous without Jesus. So that's a very important thing. And you should share that with some people in your church so that you can help them effectively share their faith, because there's no greater way than to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and do what he did. And that is to use those commandments to bring the knowledge of sin.
Hey, Becky.
My name is
Todd. How do you do?
Good. How are you?
I'm swell. Hey, I was eavesdropping on your conversation. Could I ask you a question?
Yep, sure.
Are you born again?
Yes, I am.
When did that happen?
About 4 years ago.
What happened?
I can't really remember. It was ages ago. But it's when they take your sins away from before or something, isn't it? I'm not that involved in it.
Well, let me ask you this question. You're 17 years old. How do you know that you're 17 years old?
Because...
That's when you were born. It was a big deal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Bible says that when you're born again, you pass from death to life. You become a new creature. You die to yourself spiritually. You come to the end of yourself. I don't want anything to do with me because I'm such a sinner. God, would you please have mercy on me? And you put your trust in Jesus Christ. And he says when you humble yourself before him, then he makes you born again. And it's such a radically big deal because you stop living for yourselves and you turn your life to him and you put your trust in Jesus Christ. It's such a major event. You should at least kind of remember the time.
Well, because it was about 4 years ago. I was only 13 or something. I just moved there.
Yeah.
And then I didn't go to church for years, and then I've only just started going back now because a guy came up to me and he said that God just told me 3 times or something, kept telling him to come over to me, and he said that he just wanted to say that God loves me or something, so that God told him to say it or something.
Yeah.
And then I found out that he gave me a card and said, you know, come to our church, and it was Reach Out for Christ, and that's where my family goes.
Yeah.
And he doesn't remember doing it or anything. So I don't know. It was very strange, and I just started going back.
Yeah, but you know that thing that I described about dying to yourself and humbling yourself and calling out to God to save you because you were done with yourself and your sins? Do you remember doing that?
Not really, no.
No. Hey, Becky, then let me leave you with this thought. Jesus said that unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. You won't go to heaven unless you're born again. So if you haven't come to the place where you've looked at the Ten Commandments and realized, whoa, I am a God sees my thought life. I'm a really filthy sinner. And Jesus was so kind that he died on the cross to take my punishment for me. And you repent, you apologize, you stop your sinning, you turn and you put your trust in Jesus Christ. If you haven't done that, oh, please, Becky, think about that today, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Hey, thanks very much for talking to us.
Okay, thank you.
So if you are listening and you are Becky, you didn't understand, it's about coming into just a complete understanding of your own sinful nature and the kindness that God demonstrated on the cross, and you didn't repent and put your trust in the Savior, then please, today is the day of salvation.
Until next time, go serve your King.